trying to live an intentional life in Christ will remain an elusive hope until a person's spiritual DNA has been radically altered through the spiritual rebirth. And we call it being born again, right? You think about that picture of being born again, resulting in new spiritual DNA in our lives.
Welcome to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. He's a conference speaker and coach, and your advocate for the family. It's day one of Randy's series, Unlocking the Spiritual DNA of Your Intentional Life. Now, from the broadcast studios at Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, where we want to help you be intentional for your life, here's Randy.
Thank you, Kurt, and I do welcome you to the Intentional Living Center today. Very excited about this series. I was thinking about DNA, and I'm even going to tell you what those letters stand for in just a moment. But DNA is kind of the core, the fabric, the essence, if you please, of a human being. People come to their DNA level. It's used in medical. It's used with the crime scene investigations. It takes us down to the very unique characteristics of who I am as a person physically. But spiritually, what is your DNA? Unlocking your spiritual DNA. It's the DNA that drives our lives. We're going to unpack this very important topic because at the end of the day, intentional living is all about knowing what God has for us, what His purpose is for our lives, to figure out what that is, and the Scripture is clear when it comes to those issues, and then living that intentionally every day, stretching for it every day. Not that God will love us more because of it, but because we're showing that we love Him more because of it. In the process, He's glorified, and you and I benefit. I mean, someone's going to have to convince me that living the way God intends for us to live in our lives, in our attitudes, with our health, with our finances, and so on, is not a good thing. And I think that's hard to argue against because it is a good thing. It benefits us as well. So let's begin this series today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it as you listen. If you have a thought, a comment, a reaction, share it with us at 888-888-1717. When you call, press number 2 for our comment line. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this teaching. Let's begin. Does anybody here know, could tell me what deoxyribonucleic acid? Anybody know what that is? It's Doritos. No, it's not Doritos. It's DNA. And it's better that they said DNA because that's the only way we can communicate on this. DNA, I can remember back in the 80s when I was in college that in one of the science classes talking about the advancements being made in the sequencing of the genetic world that we have in our bodies. And even here in the 21st century, the fact that the project was completed to be able to sequence these 23 pairs of these chromosomes that we carry in our body that really determine a lot about who we are. What color of our hair? Does it predispose us to cancer or diabetes? And of course, today there's been a whole industry growing up around it as people are seeking out to look at their roots and where they're from in the world. And so DNA has been something that started in the 20th century, early 20th century, as a philosophical concept to really seek out and learn, and then in the 21st century to really discover what the meaning is of the DNA in our lives. And the definition is, it's the fundamental and distinctive characteristics or qualities of someone, of you, especially regarded as unchangeable. It's the part of us that's unchangeable in our lives. And when we look at DNA today, we recognize that it's the essence, really, of who we are as a human being in terms of our genetic material and how we were created by God. What's fascinating is that DNA was something created by God for us. And as human beings, as followers of Christ, we thank Him for giving us DNA material that helps govern our lives today. And I want to think a little bit about what does it mean when we think about the essence of DNA? What is the essence or the DNA of living an intentional life in Christ? If we can go a little more deeply than just talking about the habits and the behaviors and the goals to really the essence, the core of what it means to have an intentional life in Christ. And I thought about what would be a definition of the essence of intentional living. And what I came up with is this. The essence of intentional living, that's a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ. And I wrote, trying to live an intentional life in Christ will remain an elusive hope until a person's spiritual DNA has been radically altered through the spiritual rebirth. And we call it being born again, right? You think about that picture of being born again, resulting in new spiritual DNA in our lives. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new, say it with me, a new creation. A new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. In other words, our lives, we become new as we give our lives to Christ. There's something at the spiritual DNA level that changes, radically changes in our life. And I'd like to kind of dissect this little statement if I can and really talk about the meaning or the essence of an intentional life in Christ. I talk about a life that's animated. A life animated is what? It's the way we behave. It's the way we live out. We see creatures and characters in movies that are animated. They are moving. They are made to move in certain ways. And a life animated is the outward reflection. How we live our lives as Christians is an outward reflection of that spiritual DNA in our lives. And intentional living is really being animated to move our lives in such a way that would be consistent with the DNA in our lives. I say it's a life beyond belief. Believing is not enough. We as Christians tell people that you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. That's what the scripture says. But it also goes on to say, as we're going to see in a few minutes, that if we don't have the works in our life, if we don't have the evidence, then what good is our faith? James says in James 2:19, you believe there is one God. You do well, but even the demons believe that. Even the demons believe that. There are many people in our world today who believe that there's a God, but they're not saved. They're not going to heaven just because, quote, I believe that there's a God. And I think we can sell a cheap salvation to a culture today. All you have to do is believe in God or believe there is a God, and everything is going to be fine. And yet the scripture tells us that we need the life beyond belief.
Thanks for listening to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy Carlson will be right back. Today's teaching is just a portion of a multi-part lesson to help you be intentional for your life. To see how you can receive a complete copy of today's teaching on CD, go to theintentionallife.com. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
It's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters.
Welcome to the Intentional Living Minute. Here's Rod Robinson, your intentional stewardship coach.
Bear Bryant, legendary coach of Alabama, said that. And you know, it's a biblical principle too. Joseph, the son of Jacob, in the book of Genesis, didn't know he would be sold into slavery or thrown into jail, but he was prepared when it happened. He glorified God in his hardship, saved his family and a nation. But you say, I'm no Bear Bryant or Joseph. Well, then let's look a little smaller. The ants are creatures of little strength, said Proverbs, yet they're extremely wise. They store up their food in the summer. If God can use an ant to show people the way to live, surely he can use you and me. So today, let's have the will to prepare. For Intentional Living, I'm Rod Robinson.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com.
If you don't know where you are going, you might wind up someplace else. It's a famous quote from Baseball Hall of Famer Yogi Berra, and it's a great description of what happens when you live an unintentional life. How about you? If you're not where you want to be, then start living an intentional life in Jesus Christ. A great place to begin the journey is by becoming a member of the Intentional Living Center. Join today and you'll receive the Intentional Living New Member Kit as our thanks. And every month you'll continue to receive Dr. Randy's coaching CDs. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4.
Stories like these are something we hear pretty regularly at Intentional Living.
Hi, Randy. I called about 2 or 3 months ago. I didn't know what to do about a relationship that I knew that I needed to not be in. Just wanted to let you know from talking to you and you had prayer with me, been living a very intentional life, knowing that that's not what God has for me.
Living an intentional life can be a challenge, but we're here to travel with you on your journey, offering hope and support on the air and online at theintentionallife.com. Dr. Randy's program today is from a larger teaching called Unlocking the Spiritual DNA of Your Intentional Life. And when you become a monthly supporter, you'll receive our Intentional Living new member kit as thanks. Find out more at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Or call during West Coast business hours, 1-888-888-1717 and press number 4. Now let's get back with Dr. Randy at the Intentional Living Teaching Studio as he continues his teaching.
What are some of the things that animate our lives today? I wrote down several. One is fear. You know, we can be driven by fear. And the statement there is to other people, when I'm driven and animated by fear, is I want to be loved. I want to be accepted. I want to be safe. I want to be secure. I want to be in charge of my own life. We can be animated by pride. Prideful animation is see me. I want to be the center of attention. We all know people like that. We know believers like that. That's not the way God intended for us to live. We can be animated by control, which means obey me. You can be animated by success, which says it's about me. Or you can be animated by faith, which is trust in action. And so a life animated, the question that we have to ask ourselves is, what is it that moves us? What animates our life? What makes us do what we do every day? What is it that drives us at the core, at the DNA level? What creates the kind of reactions that we have in life? And the essence of intentional living is this, that we have a life animated by the spiritual DNA of rebirth in Christ. You know, I think we need a spiritual DNA test. You know, right now you can buy a little box and send in some DNA material and they'll come back and give you these results, right? We need to have that kind of a DNA test spiritually, I think. And what would it reveal if we did a spiritual DNA test? You know, the scripture says that we were born in our trespasses and sin. The reality is, on the day that you and I were born, our spiritual DNA was already in a position of destruction. We already had the seeds in our life that would lead to eternal damnation. That's a reality. The precious little babies that we talk about being born, that we love so much, have that DNA in them spiritually at the point of birth. And we all do today. But unlike DNA that in our bodies that kind of reveal how we're going to live our lives, we have the opportunity to see a change in our spiritual DNA. And intentional living, a big part of the intentional living process is having us accept the fact that through Jesus Christ, we can see a change and experience a change in our DNA. When we think of this spiritual DNA, the question would be, how do you know that you have new birth or new DNA? If we were to take a spiritual DNA test and the results were to come back, what would be the evidence in that test of our relationship with Jesus Christ? I mean, would there be enough evidence in that DNA to say that we really are of Him and not of the world? I think there are a few things I wrote down. One is that we'll have new thinking. I think our spiritual DNA should change how we think. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we would be renewed in the spirit of our minds. And as a follower of Jesus Christ, when we think about living intentionally, if your thinking is not different than it was 6 months, a year ago, 5 years ago, if it's not different than it was before you knew Christ, if your thinking and my thinking is not different than the world, then what's the difference at the DNA level of our life? I mean, that's a serious question. Our thinking is one of the ways that when we take the DNA swab of our spiritual DNA, when it comes back, is our thinking different than the rest of the world? We'll have new goals. I think is another evidence of a spiritual DNA that has been brought to life by Christ. You know, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal. And he was a very goal-directed person. Of course, intentional living is a very goal-directed message. But what kind of goals do we have in our life? Do we have a goal to be wealthy or to just simply retire, or a goal to our next vacation or to have just pleasure in our life? Not that any of those things in and of themselves would be wrong, but when our goals become goals that are no different than the world's, no different than the spiritual DNA of the person living next to us, you've got to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, have I had a radical transformation, a true radical transformation at the spiritual DNA level of my life? And we live in a world that fights against that, doesn't it?
Boy, it sure does. Welcome back live here to our Intentional Living studio. We begin the series today on unlocking spiritual DNA, the core of our spiritual DNA for our life. Just join me. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson. Loved your thoughts on this today. You can share them at 888-888-1717. Press number 2, leave them with our comment line. Or you can join the discussion on Facebook. By the way, if you haven't stopped by Facebook, a lot of very helpful things and interactions and things that go on. Intentional Living, you can come to our website, go to there, or go to Facebook/Intentional Living. I just want to share with you again, if you're a new listener, that this particular radio ministry, which is more than radio, we have conferences around the country, and we interact online around the world. We send out resources. We have small groups that have been set up around the country where people are learning the principles of living intentionally in Christ. And it's all supported by you all, people who are interested in seeing the strengthening of families, individuals growing in their relationship with Christ, young people making decisions that will alter the course of their future. This is intentional living in a world that is very unintentional today. The intentional living message is one that is transformational. So I thank you for your support. If you're not a member today, come and join us. Your monthly support every month is a significant help in helping us reach more people with the message of hope in Christ. And when you do, we have a new member kit we're going to send to you. Two of our best-selling books from the Intentional Living Center, Starve for Affection and The Power of One Thing, along with monthly teaching from me to you to say thank you. Just go to theintentionallife.com and leave the information there and join us in support. We appreciate it. All right, the mailbag is full. We got comments, questions for me. Let's get to this first one.
I'm wondering, I had a word that I really, really was convinced by faith that I had received it from the Lord. And I was just able to hold on to it day in and day out without any doubt in my heart. And it was just one of those things I was holding on to inside myself, waiting for confirmation. I had held on to it so strongly because I thought I was having faith in God and believing for what the word that I had received. And then I learned that I don't know yet if it was from the Lord, but how do I know that if I'm able to hold on so strongly by faith in what's quite possibly a lie, where was then my faith in the Lord lying? I don't understand.
That's a great question. You know, the scripture says that his ways are not our ways. And I would say to you, sometimes his timing is not our timing. And sometimes what we perceive to be from God isn't. In fact, the scripture says to make sure you test the spirits, to make sure they are from God himself. And I think a couple things that can be helpful, searching Scripture, obviously, to see if there's any confirmation or anything in Scripture that would be contrary to what you're asking for. Because I've heard a lot of people say, God wanted this and God wanted that. And I can say, you know, in the book of Philippians chapter 4, it says the exact opposite of that. That ain't from God. It may be from your wishes, your desires, your hopes, your dreams, and all that, but it ain't from God if it's contrary to Scripture. Secondly, is true prayer and meditation really asking God to reveal this through the Holy Spirit? And third, and I think we miss this sometimes, trusted godly friends or a pastor's wife or someone who's mature in their faith who you can sit down with and share what's going on in your life, allow them to help you make some discernment in the decision. Okay, hope that helps. All right, let me see here. I think we have another one. William's got a question or comment.
Hi, my name is William. The question I have is, how do I determine temptation from opportunity? What is it that makes the difference between temptation and opportunity? Opportunity for me to grow, or is it temptation for me to fall back into my old ways? As I am recently renewed in the Lord, the answer is very important to me. You have a blessed evening, and hope you get a chance to answer my question.
Hey, William, listen, I just, you know, the lady who called and left the comment, very similar to what your answer needs to be. Find some godly people, some people you trust. When you have an opportunity, lay it out and say, hey, here's an opportunity. Some people who are more mature down the road spiritually, and allow them to speak into your life. You know, the Scripture says in the book of James, let us go to such and such a city and build a business, and we'll prosper. And for the believer, James says, we should say, if it's God's will, okay, if it's God's will, we'll go to such and such a city. Well, to know that, we're going to have to be more Nehemiah-like, where Nehemiah spent time in fasting and prayer and mourning and preparation before he ever acted on what was an opportunity to go rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So if you're looking for discernment, I think that's the first step. That's a mature question. It shows you really want to honor Christ. If you get the right people around you, I think you'll make much better decisions.
Hi, Randy. My name is Carrie. I'm in Mesa, Arizona. Your program today really touched me as I'm struggling. We've owned our own business now for 13 years and is struggling, and I know that I could go out into the public and make much more somewhere else, but the ties of our company and the flexibility that allows me is holding me back, and I prayed and prayed on this and really want an answer from God, and I feel like I just need him to kick me in the butt and give me this plain signal of what to do, and I'm struggling with how to handle that, and if I'm hearing a signal or if I'm not, and I just could really use guidance on handling that. I appreciate you listening, and you've got an amazing show. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Carrie. Listen, every person who's an entrepreneur has their own business. It can be a great blessing. It can be a real pain in the neck. Michael Gerber wrote a book called The E-Myth, and he said that many entrepreneurs who build businesses really are in the myth of thinking that they can run a business. They have a great idea. Maybe they're, let me give an example, a person who's really good with computers. Now, they're really good with computers, but they may be lousy running a business. And so they think, I'm going to take my computer ideas and go run a business, and they find out they're making less running their business than if they were working for someone with that same skill. Now, that may not be your case. It sounds like God's blessed your business. You've been able to tithe and share with others, which is a good thing. I think the decision that you make is not only a practical one in terms of the cash flow and the business plan, and is the business succeeding, and am I finding joy in this, and is it prospering, is it growing, is it going in the direction I want it to, but also from a spiritual standpoint, to really get discernment from some help from others in prayer, reading Scripture, to really discern if indeed this is what God would have you to do. I do think that some people, if you start a business, you got to plan the first few years are going to be tough. And so if you're in those early stages, you know, you're just getting things going and you're tough, don't bail out necessarily. But if you've been at it a long time now, you've been at it 5 years, 10 years, and you're not finding success and you're not finding joy and it's not really leading the direction you think it should, you might have greater confirmation at that point that you've explored the pros and cons and may need to come to not only a business decision, but a spiritual decision as well.
My one thing is I want to be less authoritative and more intentional. So I want to be more the kind of parent that will take away the dinner when she's being a picky eater and not do it in an authoritative tone.
My name is Jose and my wife Nidia, and the one thing we want to purpose in our heart is to love each other every day, kiss each other every day, and say love you every day.
My name is Matthew, and my one thing is to read 3 chapters of the Bible a day to my son.
Hey, listen, those are real people with real one things. One thing people saying for the next 30 days, here's one thing I choose to do to make my marriage stronger, and make my parenting, my home stronger. And they're coming from one of our conferences. We got something really cool, very special. Probably this will be it. Kevin Lehman and I together. You know, we traveled for many years. Kevin was part of our Parent Talk ministry. Been friends for a long, long time, written books together. Well, we have a reunion tour of sorts. Kevin and I, Dr. Kevin Lehman and I, are going to have a Hope for Your Home series. Not only hope, but humor and help. It's going to be marriage and parenting. He's going to talk about making children mind without losing yours, the practical stuff having to do with your kids. I'm going to be talking about marriage, and we're going to be taking your questions as well. Albuquerque, April 7, Hoffmantown, Glendale, Arizona, Phoenix area, Saturday, April 21st, Glendale Nazarene. Albuquerque, April 7, Glendale, April 21. Get your tickets, theintentionallife.com.
This is how I'm choosing to live an intentional Christ-like life, by never giving up. We're all sinners, but He loves us no matter what. And when times get hard, too many people, too many Christians give up and fade away. By not giving up, and the adversity He sends my way brings me back to Him. And that's how I'm choosing to be intentional. My name is Catherine. Thank you very much, and have a blessed day.
Thank you, Catherine. Appreciate your support, the fact that you're listening, part of Intentional Living. It's because of Intentional Living folks around the country who've stepped up and said, count on me, Randy. I'm part of the team. I want to be a part of Intentional Living. I want to make a difference. I want my life to matter. I want to make a difference in somebody I may never even meet on this side of heaven. Thank you for your support. God bless you for doing that. Your monthly support matters a great deal. If you're not a member, come and join us. Be on this journey with us. Life is short. Your financial support, whatever it is, whatever God lays on your heart, and some sharing $1 a day, some are sharing $50 a month, some $100 a month, whatever the amount, it all goes to make a difference in impact for the kingdom. And we're going to send you a new member kit, a couple of our best-selling books, and our ongoing teaching each and every month. Go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. Join us tomorrow with more on locking the spiritual DNA of your life. See you then.